Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the Top Six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Tyler, we'll get to DK Metcalf here in a second, but we do have Avalanche hockey against Vegas, and we have the Nuggets with their final four games of the season, all on the road, by the way. Charlotte, Minnesota, Detroit, Portland. Okay. Which team, the Nuggets or the Avalanche, who are both having great seasons, do you think will finish the season better and be in a better spot once the playoffs begin?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask in the long run, but you're saying regular season ended.
No. Well, yeah, they're both kind of, it's almost done for both teams. They have similar amounts of games, similar amount of time. I mean, it's basically ending this week.
Okay, I guess you're going to have to help me out here a little bit. I guess I don't know what all the implications are of all the standings and what the fallout would be. I mean, I know what the Nuggets have done has just been flat out incredible. To be able to play as competitive basketball, not just competitive, I mean, they're flat out winning basketball games without Jamal Murray. That's been the most impressive feat I have seen in a very long time. I know that I feel like the Avalanche will be better in the long run in the playoffs, because I still think that the Nuggets will likely need Jamal Murray when it's all said and done, but I don't know all the fallout of
the
remaining games.
Here's the deal. If they want a chance to finish in the number one spot, they've got to win tonight. They're playing Vegas. Okay. In Vegas, and they're 4 points behind. They have three games left. You got to win tonight. If Vegas wins, it's done. And then you run the risk of perhaps getting passed by Minnesota. That's got 75 points, and you got 76. Either way, you're doing all right. I mean, you know, you're probably not afraid of anybody. So perhaps it's a little bit more important for the Nuggets, because the Avs at some point are going to play these teams in the playoffs. You know, whether they're the top seed or the second seed or whatever, they're one of the top seeds, no doubt about it. They're clearly one of the top teams in the NHL. I'd like to think that the Nuggets are the same way, but the Nuggets are in a little bit kind of a weirder position. There's no way they're going to fall to five. They're four games up on the Mavericks. They only have four games to play. That's not going to happen. They're not going to do any worse than fourth. And they're only one game behind the Clippers at third. So I guess the question seriously is, I'm not worried at all about the Avs. Not at all. I think they're going to make it into the conference finals kind of no matter what. But I sit here and I'm still stupidly terrified of the dumb Lakers. And that's highly, I mean, some crazy stuff would have to happen. But if the Nuggets pass the Clippers and end in third, and the Lakers pass the Blazers and finish sixth, now the Nuggets, by doing better, finishing third, could possibly face the Lakers.
So, weird. Interesting. Okay.
So I just don't know. I don't know how to feel. Perhaps it's really better if the Nuggets, how about this to sound crazy? They can't finish in fifth. They can only finish in third. There's no way the Lakers can finish in fifth place. Is it bowl time?
Ah!
I mean, seriously, is it time to just rest your guys and just kind of tank these next four games?
I think you need to be careful about playing time, yes. However, I would want to capitalize on the momentum that you've got. And you know, I think if you rest too many guys for too long, You might lose a little bit in the mojo that you got right now.
But
if you lose
these next four games, you will not play the Lakers in the first round.
I got it. But what's more important, do you think? Keeping that mojo
I'm asking you.
I'm going to say be smart with playing time, but don't give up trying to win. So if you lose a game because you want to limit Nikola's minutes here a little bit, no big deal. And maybe that ends up helping you in the long run. But you want to play enough good basketball to finish it off that you maintain that momentum going into the playoffs.
You know what's crazy? The Clippers are in... It really depends how the Lakers do, by the way. Like, I mean, if they should be motivated to pass the Blazers being a game behind. But why would the Clippers want to play the Lakers in the first round?
Oh, maybe they should just lose them.
Yeah. All right, how about this? Just a heads up, Nuggets fans.
Forget it. You're right. They should lose them. They'll get the mojo back. They know the feeling. They're not going to forget what that feels like.
Bowl for three.
Yeah.
All right, bring it, Richie.
I'm with you. See, every now and then you can convince me. Nice work. Guess who's back?
Who's back?
Back again.
Who's back again?
Tebow's back.
Tebow's back.
Back again.
Yeah, Tebow.
Tim Tebow's back. Almost. Not quite, but it's almost a done deal. He's almost signed a one-year deal with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here's Rappaport.
Tim Tebow is expected to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And his former college coach, Urban Meyer, this according to me and my colleague, Tom Pelissero, right there. Nothing is done yet, but this is expected to be official in the next week or so. Is expected to be a one-year deal where Tebow will have the chance to make the team, to make an impression, and we will see where this goes for here. But yes, in the next few days, in the coming days, Tebow expected to be back in the NFL.
All right. D-Mac, why are the Jags doing this? I mean, number one, the media attention, the circus that always comes with Tim Tebow. That alone is not worth it, in my opinion, but I'll ask you this, since you're a big Tebow supporter. I didn't mean that in jest, but give me one thing that Tim Tebow is going to be better at than somebody that is on the Jacksonville Jaguars roster. What is it? Is it blocking? Is it running? Is it catching? Is it throwing? What is it?
See, I was going to say motivation, that sort of thing, but that's mitigated.
Hiring to be a life coach.
I know. It's mitigated by the degree that you can actually play well. I understand that. You can be the biggest rah-rah guy in the world. It just, it unfortunately falls on deaf ears if you're not actually a contributor too. And that kind of sucks. Like, sometimes those type of guys can really help a team. I just know how teams work.
Tebow!
So I guess really nothing. I mean, nothing that I can think of.
I have no idea why the Jags are doing this. I honestly don't.
Oh, I know why they're doing it.
Why?
Oh, I think Urban Meyer feels a certain obligation to the greatest player he ever coached in college.
Oh, wow. So we're passing out that. So this is literally a favor?
I do think so, yes. I don't think this would happen in any other situation except for Urban Meyer. And on top of that, it's unlikely it would happen in any other city except for Jacksonville.
That is potentially true and an unfortunate situation and could lead towards some awkward moments in the locker room if you were to actually make the roster. I don't think it's a big deal if he's just a camp body, but if you were to make the 53-man roster, that would be awkward. Tim Tebow, unfortunately, had too much pride to be the original Taysom Hill. And that time has come and gone.
Yeah.
At 33 years old, he is not going to have a particular skill set that is going to shine in the NFL. He's not going to be a mismatch as a tight end matched up on these linebackers. He's certainly not going to be some sort of threat in the running game. The jump pass, guess what? Trevor Lawrence can do it. I've seen him do it. I don't know what he brings to the table. So, unfortunately for Tim, he probably could have had a very nice NFL career had he been willing to do this 6 years ago.
Ray and Richie. Let's listen to DK Metcalf run fast.
DK Metcalf, second from the far right. Second heat of the Nike Men's 100. Metcalf's hanging with them at the moment. It's fairly even. DK's doing a good job. On the inside, though, CJ Ujar and Mike Rogers. That was close. 10-12, the winning time.
He came in ninth, and he came in third to last out of two heats. That was one heat. He came in second to last. And overall, he beat out two other guys out of 17. Okay, so what did we learn about watching DK Metcalf compete against world-class racers?
I thought it was incredibly impressive. Obviously, when you put it in relation to his size, his height, all those sorts of things at 235 pounds, to be able to go out there and compete, and he did compete, was one of the most impressive things I've seen in a very long time. What did we learn? I don't know. He's fast. He's as fast as I thought he was. He's not an Olympic sprinter. And no, to think that he could go compete in the Olympics is, of course, that's crazy. He would have to transform his body, and he would have to, could he do it if he wanted to lose weight and commit to it? Probably. But that's not what his body type currently is.
I think what we saw, too.
By the way, just really quick.
Yes.
The start that he had, I thought he was going to win. I mean, dude, he was flying.
Right, right.
And then that body mass, it just caught up to him.
Catches up to you, yeah. I thought what we saw was awesome, too. And I thought it was awesome in a couple of different ways. First of all, that he can even compete at that level, at that size, of course, is amazing. But what you also saw was the amazing dedication, determination, and work ethic of the other racers to be faster than DK Metcalf and to be incredible specialists on their own. So I know we've had these debates about specializing, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And you can make the argument that, hey, it's great to play sports and do things for fun. But at the end of the day, if you truly want to be great at something at some point, Tyler, you really do got to dial it in on particularly one thing. So there's multiple ways to go about stuff.
Hold on. I mean, if you're talking about being the best in the world, of course you have to specialize at some point. Of course you have to commit towards becoming the best in the world at what you do at a particular point of your life. But, I mean, how do you become the best athlete? How do you get to that point? That's a way different story. So I guess I'll let you finish wherever you're going, but I don't like the way you started it because
I just think when you, and this was at an extreme level because this is like world-class competition. But you can just sort of let that domino fall down the line to wherever you are as an athlete in life. At some point, you did have to focus on football more than anything else to be the best that you could be to play at that level.
Right, but in order to get the opportunity that I got in football, I had to become the best athlete I could possibly be. And to become the best athlete I could possibly be, I had to play all the particular sports, learn all the athletic movements that were going to be required to play a particular position, right?
Fair enough. And there's different ways to get to different places.
So there's different phases of how you get there. Right. And getting there does not begin at a young age. That is the ultimate goal. And you phase things out that help you to get to that goal.
Well, I would guess that every sport is somewhat different depending on what it requires at certain ages. For example, Olympic gymnasts, you know, are dialed in when they're probably 12, 13 years old and they can't do anything else. Where, yeah, maybe younger than that in certain countries, you know, that are maybe even illegal for them to be doing that in. Whereas other sports take a lot more strength and that you have to, you know, amp up to it. It happens at different ages for different things. It depends on how good you want to be at certain points. That's all. And I thought that was a great example of it. There's nothing wrong with it. What you saw DK Metcalf do, basically, a great, tremendous athlete do something for fun. Now, would he be able to compete with those top guys if he gave up football and just focused on that stuff? I mean, crazily, maybe. But there's no way,
that's at the best of the best. That's at a world-class level. If you're talking about high school, if you're talking about younger than high school, you don't need to do that.
It all depends. It all depends on your age and where you're at. It depends. Sometimes, like gymnastics, middle school may be too late. Who knows? Ring it, Richie.
Red button in the top six. Well, how dare you give me a red button issue in the top six? Tried to just get the last word in, like I can't respond. Unbelievable. Boy, Eric Fisher, how about this? So Eric Fisher is coming off an Achilles injury. And Juwan James just did the same deal. Juwan James is out for the entire season, according to the Broncos. Eric Fisher did this a while back. I think he's probably, best case scenario, coming back mid-season. Well, the Colts just signed Eric Fisher to a one-year $9.4 million deal. A one-year $9.4 million deal, knowing that he's probably only going to be able to play 8, 9, maybe 10 games at best. Is that insane?
Oh, man. It's relative. It sounds insane.
What does that mean for Dennis Kelly? What does that mean for Bobby Massey?
It's a $9 to $10 million deal.
Right, because they're negotiating for a starting deal.
Oh, it's the money you'd be paying Juwan James.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a dime less than $8
million? No.
No.
You can fight for less if you had competition, but there's no competition. The guy knows that he's going to be the starter. You got to pay him starter's money.
That's it. And what's their leverage? I mean, I guess their leverage is you don't play in the NFL, I suppose, but why would they? They know they're in there to be a starter, Tyler. They're not there to back up Calvin Anderson. Ah, no, get ready for it. And if you want another reason amongst many why the Broncos aren't going to pay up to Juwan James, well, there you go. Ring it, Richie. Wrap it up. All right. I'm just fooling around YouTube like I do. I don't know. I go down wormholes. But I came across MLB The Show, and there's just videos of people playing it. That is bad when I'm just watching videos of other people playing video games.
Dude, it's a ridiculous market. It's like a $1 billion market watching people play video games.
I was so captivated by it. Yeah, I was just amazed. It was so cool. I've really got into, like, you know, a player getting called up to the big leagues.
What'd that look like?
It looked pretty cool. It's MLB The Show, now available for PlayStation and Xbox consoles at theshow.com. Be caller 4 right now and win a copy of MLB The Show 21 for Xbox One. Then you can make your own videos, and I'll probably stare at those and watch you play a video game. Maybe. So there you go. It was cool. Really cool.
Maybe, Richie.
Maybe. Hey, we'll get to Spilly here in just a second. Our guy Spilly, he's in touch. He was talking to Nolan over the weekend, so we'll get to him in a second. Do you care about this horse racing stuff? Does this ring any bells for you?
I think it's fascinating.
Oh, okay. Explain.
I am not interested in horse racing. I did not watch the Derby, but the aftermath of it is absolutely fascinating to me.
Well, I got Baffert explaining the positive test. Okay, here's what he said.
Bob, I'll put it just simply. State your case and what is your plan?
Well, first of all, the medication, betamethasone, that was found in the post-race test, which actually is a legal therapeutic medication, was never administered to the horse since I've had him. So that's the troubling part that we're trying to figure out, and we're going to have to really go through step by step the process and figure out how the horse got contaminated, because that's an issue that we've been dealing with in racing lately.
Well, the reporter doesn't believe him.
Just to be clear, you're suggesting yours has never been touched with this drug, yet somehow you're being told that he tested positive for a microscopic level of it. How in the world could this have happened?
There you go.
Well, when you're dealing in picograms, that's the thing that America doesn't know about picograms is 1 billionth of a, it's like one grain of salt in an Olympic sized pool. And that's what we're talking about here. And he had 21. So when you're dealing with those kind of levels, that's contaminant level, they call it. And that's what happened in my prior cases. And we resolved them all, but that's what's going on. It happened to Justify. It happened in Arkansas, and now it's happened here, and it happened on the biggest day, on the biggest race. It's just horrible.
When I used all my Bitcoin to buy Theranos stock, it made more sense than that. I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah,
I'm,
I thought it was a good one, man. That was a pretty genuine laugh you got out of me. Dude, right. This guy has had 5 positives in the last year. In 1 year, I mean, what is going on here? How many positives does it take before a guy gets banned for life? I get it. He's clearly very good at what he does, and apparently has to cheat to be that good. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't believe for a second that this is contaminated. That this was not intentional.
Maybe the bigger question is: do you care if there's cheating in horse racing?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean,
I don't.
I care about the welfare of the animals.
Oh,
and
I'm not just
being facetious when I say that.
I do too.
So, of course I do. And here's, I learned a little bit. I actually, in the first segment, I literally asked this question and a good listener informed me. It was a great response. I said, help me out here as a big dum-dum. What's the big deal about giving an anti-inflammatory to the horse? Why is that illegal?
And?
Well, the answer is that what it does is that it makes the horse not feel injuries that he has, and so it puts him at further risk of tearing something very, very vital or having a very big injury that normally would not have happened because he can't feel the pain that is there, right? Mm-hmm. Good answer. Okay. I mean, certainly makes sense to me. I mean, do I care if they get shot up with testosterone? I guess as long as they're healthy,
I think you put it well. The welfare of the horses to me is the most important thing. But it already looks like the welfare of the horses is not really being thought of that much when it just comes to horse racing. I'm not a member of PETA here or anything like that, but to me, it's like, come on now. You know, what choice do the horses have in any of this? And the answer is obviously none. All right, that being said, Ryan Spielborgs, our Fan Rockies analyst, joins us right now, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Spilly, how would you sum up that series against the Cards?
So my dog's sitting on my lap. We were watching TikTok videos, and I would say, woof. Woof was the weekend. It was... I said this to Stink and to Mike earlier in the week. I'm always going to be a fan of Nolan, always. I mean, I've known him since he was 19 years old. It was really strange to see him in a Cardinals uniform. It also looked pretty good on him. And watching it throughout the weekend, it just was like, man, this thing, it kind of stinks to see him torch his old team. And on Sunday, you know, Nolan hits a homer, he makes a bunch of great plays, and his cousin Josh, I wanted a moment for Josh so bad, like so bad. And I think if you were like a Rockies fan, or if you know Josh Fuentes at all, you know, as an undrafted free agent and coming through the ranks, you know, through Division III, you kind of wanted him to have that, like, take that cousin moment. And when he grounded into a 6-4-3 to end Sunday, you know, where it's just, dang, man, it's just like it's not there for you. It put the whole weekend in a perspective that I was like, that really stunk.
Right. Well, Nolan obviously had a great series, played well against his old club. Any inside access, any stories, maybe communication with former teammates, coaches, anything along those lines, anything special happen?
You know, with all the protocols and everything going on, you know, there was an off day on Thursday where, I think some of the guys had a chance to reconnect with him. And, you know, it was good for those people, for the, you know, coaching staff and training staff and some of his teammates to see him. But then it's business as usual. I mean, you guys get this. Once the game starts going, you know, the first day, I would say Friday was probably the most emotional of the days, or maybe it meant... Now, and I texted Nolan before the start of that weekend series, you know, good luck. And he was looking forward to it. You know, I don't think it was going to hit him until maybe Friday night. Like, dude, that's really weird to play the Rocks and not be a part of it. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's just like, it's back to, you know, status quo for the rest of the guys. I just think when you're flying home Sunday, realizing that for, you know, like, that guy was an all-time great for the Rockies. You know, his poster's still on my son's wall. It stinks to see him somewhere else. I mean, that's the fact. It just flat out stinks. The next big moment for Nolan and the Rocks are in high when the Cardinals come to town.
Where's Trevor's story's head at these days?
I don't know. I can't speak for him. I would assume that it's starting to build on him a little bit, because you're going to get, I know in the Zoom meetings, regardless of where he is, he's getting asked the same type of questions. You know, the team's clearly, we knew this before the start of the year. I've said it to you guys numerous times. I wanted the Rockies to just say it was a transition year. I really did. Because then I think it would kind of put into perspective for the group, like, this is a transition. You're going to lose friends this year. I mean, that's what it is. I know Rockies fans see it that way. I've said it like that. I look at it this way. Even talking to Bill Schmidt, which has been nice to talk to him, you know, both on the broadcast, he's been pretty transparent, you know, like that there's going to be some changes that are going to be made, but he doesn't know when. I would assume if you're Trevor Story that, you know, unless an extension comes out of right field, this is probably... You know, this is probably the next couple months is going to be trying, you know, play hard, understand that there's going to be some teams that are interested. And if the Rockies can get better value for him than a compensation pick, that he will end up on a contending team by the end of this year.
All right. Thank you, Spilly. Appreciate it. Ryan Spielborgs, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Rockies rained out. They'll play 2 on Wednesday. They'll start their series tomorrow against the Padres. What is the latest in the Aaron Rodgers saga? Plus, Mike Kliss, all still to come here on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
More cowbell! More cowbell!
Everyone's favorite part of the show.
When I start singing?
Yes, sir.
Right, well, the Rockies aren't going to lose today.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
The game's been...
Can't lose if you don't play.
Game's been rained out. But doubleheader on...
Baseball, like the only sport that preemptively cancels a game before the actual game begins with what? Seriously, can you imagine another sport that cancels hours, days beforehand because of weather?
It has seemed to happen more this year than I recall in the past. Usually it feels like they give it the old college try right up until game time.
Bunch of pansies.
But I mean, they canceled the game, which should be, basically going on now. They canceled it like at noon.
Yeah, I know. can we not at least try to make it work? Can you not show up to the stadium, see what's going to go on?
I get it. The weather wasn't going to get better and everything, but here we are. How is your Aaron Rodgers reflective weekend?
I got a lot of questions about it. Anybody I ran into this weekend, I probably had legitimately three or four different people come up to me and be like, well, what's the inside scoop? What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? You got to give me something, man. Tell me what you know. You know what shocked me? There was actually one guy, and there was only one, but there was one guy that was like, ah, man, do we really want that grumpy guy?
Oh, my God.
You know, if he came in here, would he have the same effect that Peyton Manning had on this team? And I'm like, okay, clearly they're different personalities, and no, they don't operate in the same manner, but yes, he would have the same effect on this football team. And yes, I want that grumpy guy.
Yeah, why are people... Yeah, that's weird. I actually was asked to on Mother's Day to be on this guy's show. He's on The Serious. And
The Serious.
Yeah, The Serious. The enemy, technically, I guess. But he's a good dude. Mike Meltzer. You know Mike?
He's a good guy.
Anyways. And he asked me, well, what's too much, or what wouldn't you give up, or what are you talking about? Nothing. Nothing's too much for Aaron Rodgers.
See, that's just not true. I know you say that and you don't really mean that, but this is not a Deshaun Watson situation where you've got the guy for the next 12, 13 years.
What do you think George Payton would turn down in terms of, nope, can't do that?
Anything more than the equivalent of three first-rounders. Anything more than that, because D-Mac, you've got a 3-year, you got to look at it. If you get anything more than 3 years, it's all gravy, but plan on a 3-year window.
Okay, so
you have to capitalize in the next 3 years.
What players on the Broncos right now are worth a first round draft pick?
Well, Jerry Jeudy, Pat Surtain, potentially Bradley Chubb. Who else? Am I missing anyone?
Well, I think you're stretching yourself, to be honest with you, but okay.
Well, who am I stretching on?
Well, you're certainly not stretching on Pat Surtain. That's a definite.
Okay. Jerry Jeudy's worth a first rounder.
Maybe a late first rounder. Maybe. And,
okay.
And Chubb's, maybe he could be, but not right now.
All right. I mean, I'll play the game with you, with Bradley Chubb. But in my opinion, Jerry Jeudy is definitely still a first rounder. I mean, you didn't get that much depreciation in his rookie year. So.
All right. So theoretically, then, on your theory, Jerry Jeudy and Surtain would be too much, but Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton would be okay?
No.
Cortland Sutton.
It's not about the specific players. It's the total package. And if you give up, say, you got to give up three first rounders and a player, it's probably too much. And if that player has to be the equivalent of a first rounder, that's probably too much. But if you got to give up two first rounders and Jerry Jeudy, no worries. If you got to give up two first rounders and Pat Surtain, no worries. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I got to know the specific trade scenario. And then I look at it and I say, okay, in the next 3 years, can you overcome what you just gave up to go compete for a Super Bowl?
Well, I guess I'm in a weird world of technicalities, meaning that I thought there was a limit as to how far in advance you can go to give up draft
picks. Three first-rounders. So you can give up three first-rounders, but that doesn't mean that you can't give up players in addition to that.
Well, hold on. When you say three first-rounders, you can give up...
Three first-round draft picks.
You can give up draft picks for this year, next year, and the year after for
correct.
Three... Are you sure about that?
I'm sure about that.
I thought
you
there
can
was
give up three first-rounders.
Okay. I thought there was a limit in terms of how far you could go advanced in years. I thought it was limited at a certain point.
It's three first-round draft picks.
Okay, for the sake of argument. For the sake of argument, what if I had three first-round draft picks next year and two first-round draft picks in 2022? Are you telling me I could only give up three first-round draft picks of those five first-round draft picks?
I believe that it's three first-rounders. I don't know. You got me here. I'm not entirely certain. What I know is that it's three first-rounders.
Okay.
Especially what you got.
Richie was saying it's 3 years out. You know, we got to see that's where I'm getting a little hung up on, because that's why I thought the deal had to be done before the pick. And I don't know when the new year starts, meaning like you could have done three first round draft picks if it was for 3 years had you done the deal on draft day when it was rumored. And then all of a sudden you can't, which is why when I see these proposed trades, I'm only seeing two first-round draft picks.
Well, it would just start
players.
From moving forward now. So you would have three years moving forward from now.
So 2024 is in play now.
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll take your word for it.
But I believe, by the way, that Richie set that up, potentially what that means is that if you had multiple first-round draft picks in the next 3 years, that you could trade extra first-rounders, but you could only trade out 3 years in advance.
Yeah, it's something. It's, you know what? We were just beating our heads against the wall. It doesn't matter.
You're getting me on the technicalities of this right now.
Right, so don't worry about it. You have a limit.
It doesn't really matter, though. I mean, because what it comes down to is, can you overcome that in the next 3 years? Because I'm not looking at it from the rules of the NFL. I'm looking at it from, you've got 3 years worth of return out of Aaron Rodgers that you can go compete for a Super Bowl championship. So can you overcome whatever you're giving up in the next 3 years to go compete?
I'm reading, what's his name? Goot. I just call him Goot.
Sure.
Because I feel like anything else is, I just call him Goot, the GM of the Packers. Quote, I had no trade discussions with any team.
Right.
I received one call from a team Thursday night, draft night. After all the news came out, I said no. That was the end of the conversation. That's the Goot telling Peter King of NBC Sports. You believe in that?
Well, we know for a fact that the 49ers talked to him because John Lynch told us that he talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
So is he referring to the 49ers as the only team that talked to him? No, I don't believe that. No, I don't believe it at all.
Well, he said, I received one call from a team Thursday night.
Well, that's not true, because John Lynch told us on Wednesday that they tried to trade for Aaron Rodgers the day before the draft.
So the Goot's lying?
He's lying.
Why is the Goot lying?
I don't know.
Why are you lying, Goot?
You play the game. Anytime somebody's really available, you say they're not available, so you try to get more in return.
You know what's great is, like, in the NFL, it's not like you're going to be pulled in front of a congressional panel or a grand jury for fibbing about, you know, what happened with you and an agent or something like that.
Yes.
Or it doesn't really matter. So I think it's still in play. I think this was inevitable that there was going to be a bit of a stall with the Aaron Rodgers news, because there's only going to be so much you can generate before June 1st, and likely it'll pick up all over again. Nobody believes that Aaron Rodgers is happy. Nobody believes that he wants to still be with the Packers.
Does Shailene Woodley think that he's happy or no?
I would think not.
In life?
I mean, she's staring down the barrel.
Happy with the relationship? Happy with the engagement?
Oh, I'm sure she's happy with all of that, because this is the man of her dreams.
No, but is he?
Is he happy with her?
Yeah, is he happy with the engagement?
I hope so. I hope they're madly in love. I hope they're having a wonderful time.
Well, I don't know. You're the king of judging whether marriages are going to succeed or not.
So I just thought that
you might have some official opinion on whether the marriage is going to succeed.
I have.
You've told me Tebow's is going to fail. You've told me any Jumbotron marriage will fail.
That's ultimately doomed. Yeah.
Right.
You get married, you get engaged on a Jumbotron. I give it 3 years at the best.
Okay, so what happens if you get engaged within like 2 months of breaking off a previous engagement?
If you have a hired lute player at your engagement, you're in trouble.
What's that?
A lute player?
Yeah, what's that?
It's a romantic flute player, but it's a lute, sort of medieval times sort of thing, a lute.
I don't know what a lute
it's
is.
It's really going overboard when you
like
have
treasure?
A
treasure? Like,
no,
got,
lute
like
is
I
an instrument. It's
like
well, it could be that, but it's a musical instrument, the lute. The Shakespearean times. You know, like you're getting engaged at the Renaissance Fair.
Okay.
Did you read about Tebow's engagement? Do you know the specifics of Tebow's engagement?
I don't. I don't really care, though.
It's right out of a Renaissance Fair, my man. I mean, you gotta dig into how overboard he went.
All right.
But now we know. Now we know that he'll be able to afford everything because he's going to go back into the to the National Football League.
He needed some money.
He needed some money. You know, let's get into Tebow a little bit, and let's catch up with everything going on with the Broncos with our guy Mike Kliss. That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
All right, earlier today we caught up with Mike Kliss, our 9 News Broncos insider, courtesy of Bet River Sports, but McGill's Hotel and Casino. Hey, what is going on with Juwan James, Mike? What's the deal? How much money are the Broncos going to give him or not give him?
That's what's left. First of all, they did put him on that season-ending reserve list, so he's done for the year. No ifs, ands, buts about that. The next step, I would think, is they would have to release him with some sort of settlement or settlement to be done later. I'm just guessing here. I don't think you can go after a pro-rated portion of the signing bonus, which would be $3 million. I'd be surprised if the Broncos went back to recoup. I don't think they'll take that $150,000 COVID, loan from last year. But I do think they will probably not pay what he's owed this year, which would be $10.43 million, counting the 17th game that he was going to get an extra $580,000 for.
Mike, what's going on with the boycott in correlation with Juwan James? Do you think that guys will start to trickle in? And I know we've got rookie minicamp coming up here. I assume all the rookies will be there, right?
Yeah, I've heard most of the rookies are almost all the rookies. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. I don't know if they're going to try to, twist the elbow of Sertan or not. I'm not sure there. You know, I think the real big date is Monday of next week, a week from today. That starts phase two after the rookie minicamp. So all the rookies come in, and that's when the vets start seeing, all the rookies are in. They're gonna get a jump on us. Maybe we should come in, or maybe they won't.
Jonathan Cooper, everything okay with his heart?
Yeah, from what I understand, he had this freshman in high school and had a couple procedures where they, as I understand it, they kind of have to electrode the heartbeat, and it was fine, and he played 8 years with it, and then they had another EKG the NFL ordered the week of the draft, a couple days before the draft, so that was nice timing that they waited till then. And, the day of the draft, Thursday or the second day, they distributed the results to all 32 teams. And from what I understand, he was a fourth or fifth round guy. And he went pretty late in the seventh. So the Broncos took him, knowing for a lot of reasons. The guy's an unbelievable leader. And, they want him to help on special teams year one and take it from there. So I think he'll be ready to play in a couple weeks is what they say. Definitely by the start of training camp, maybe by the last week or two of OTAs in the mini camp.
All right, what's the latest with right tackle replacements?
They're going to have tryouts, I think, either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Tryouts?
Not tryouts.
Tryouts? Is it open? Okay.
They can have tryouts, but as I understand, they're not.
Okay.
Bobby Massey, who's been an 8-year starter, 4 years with the Bears, 4 years with Arizona, 32 years old, he's coming in. And Dennis Kelly, who's been a swing tackle for 7 or 8 years, and then last year he started all 16 with the Titans, and he's coming in too. He's a little younger. I think he's 30.
So it's one of those two guys?
I would think. Those are the two coming in anyway. So There's a chance that they wait and till later in camp, and maybe the Broncos, offer doesn't satisfy those two, and they wait. We'll see. We'll see who they pick.
Mike, nobody spent more time around Tebow than you while he was here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he make the Jacksonville Jaguars?
If he hasn't completely fallen off the cliff physically, and baseball probably helped him somewhat, I think he probably. It would be a shame if he didn't after all this. I think he makes it, and they bring back the jump pass at the goal line
like
he did his freshman year at Florida.
There you go.
You're right. I don't think Trevor Lawrence could do that. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not tall enough. All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll catch up with you. Thank you, Michael.
You got it.
That's our guy, Mike Kliss, courtesy of Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Hey, I want to get back to Tebow real quick. What do you think of the whole Tebow returning to the NFL story?
I think it's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my life. It's how many years has it been? Seriously, 6, 7 years?
Eight, oh, my gosh.
9?
What
how many
has
years?
It been? Well, his final year with the Broncos, of course, was 2012.
8.
Been 8 years? So from
9 years.
He goes to the Jets in 2012. That doesn't work out, right? Does he
Patriots were in there. Did you say the Pats?
Did he spend a whole year with the Jets? He did, didn't he? Wasn't he with the Jets for
he also
season?
Had Philadelphia in there.
Gosh,
there were a handful of stops for old Timmy Tebow.
So his last year playing probably was in 13. You're right.
It's been 9 years since Tim Tebow was in the NFL.
That is wild, man.
I mean, come on. What is going on right now? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is pretty wild. So, what do you point out? 2012 was his last year? His last year playing for the Jets. But he went to camp with the Eagles and went to camp with the Patriots. So even though he wasn't on those teams, he did spend a season with the Jets in 2012.
All right, how about this? When was the last time he took a snap?
Oh, 2012, clearly.
2012.
Yeah, for sure. But he was in camp in 2013. So he's still football training with the team in 13. Do you think he actually makes the team?
No. I don't.
No?
I would be shocked if he makes... I don't know what's going on here, man. You can't tell me that Tim Tebow's in football shape. You can't tell me that a guy that has never blocked a human being in his entire life is all of a sudden going to be a blocking tight end. Nor can you tell me that Tim Tebow, at 33 years old, is going to be fast enough to be a mismatch on any linebacker in the NFL. So what exactly is he going to bring to the table?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the goal is to be Taysom Hill, to be used on special teams, and it's kind of a crash test dummy, meaning you don't have to protect him.
Special
you can,
teams?
Well,
you got to be fast to be on special teams. What's he going to do on special teams?
You don't think he could? He's faster than most linebackers? Seriously?
I don't know. I have no idea.
What do you think?
I doubt it. I doubt if he's faster than the average starting linebacker.
Not starting. Special team linebackers who the linebackers who typically play special teams. Oh, and he's in big trouble if he's not faster than practice squad linebackers. He's that could be a problem.
Hold on. I'm looking. Okay, so Tim Tebow's 40 time, which was what 13 years ago.
Okay,
how many years ago was it? Roughly 13 years.
It's been a while, but he's been working on it.
4.71, 13 years ago.
All right.
You're telling me he's not running a 5.1, 5.2 minimum right now?
Well, he has been baseball training. He's awful fast.
That's first, offensive tackle.
His first to third is pretty good. I don't know. I have no idea.
4.71, 13 years ago.
I'm just telling you, like, where would he fit in? He would be the equivalent of a backup linebacker, fullback, special team sort of guy in the NFL. I don't know.
I don't get it. Good for him if he pulls it off, and I mean that with all sincerity. I don't see it.
He just won't be protected, meaning if he's going to make the team, he's got to get out there and get his, nose messed up and get dirty. He's
right,
got
to
be
meaning he has
physical.
To block, and he's never blocked anybody in his life.
Yeah, he's got to do all that stuff. I don't know where it's going to go. I think it's an amazing story, though. And I can't wait. The Jaguars are a pretty fun, interesting team to follow here with Trevor Lawrence and Tebow and Urban Meyer. And, the way they're going, they may get that first overall pick again next year.
They sure might.
Right, for it. Okay, other than that, we roll on for another week. The Broncos rookies are coming to town this week. Aaron Rodgers news on the way. Rockies game got rained out. They're going to have a doubleheader on Wednesday. But to roll through the evening with you, Nick and Cecil up next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Denver's sports station. Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's T-Mac from Mike Maroney for Longmont. Some dreary weather, man. Like, I don't even want to get out of the house. I don't want to go around. I get it. That's why we got Mike Maroney, FordLongmont.com. Excellent website. Absolutely fantastic. And you can do everything there. Everything. Think about it. The whole process from a virtual test drive, looking at all the vehicles. And, you know, we have used car values surging to record highs. Record highs. So now Mike Maroney Ford Longmont will pay you more for your vehicle, even if you don't buy for them. Doesn't matter. This is easy. Again, you go to MikeMaroneyFordLongmont.com, click Sell My Car, and get Maroney's premium value for your vehicle in just seconds. You can apply this value to a new or used purchase, and they'll just write you a check. Or, like I said, if you prefer to do it all from home, they welcome you. It's easy. MikeMaroneyFordLongmont.com. I'm a customer. I got a used car from Mike Maroney Ford Longmont. Absolutely love it. And the process, simple. So again, make the next move. And that's to go to MikeMaroneyFordLongmont.com.